Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, July 31st, to welcome Joel Burks to the podcast. Joel, I'm so grateful for your ministry here at Mountain Brook Baptist, and you've been quite busy this summer with lots of trips. I can't wait for you to talk about them at the end. But first, would you read God's Word for us today? Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Mary. Our first passage today is Exodus chapter 30. We're going to start with verse 1, and then we're going to jump forward to verse 17. So let's read verse 1. Make an altar of acacia wood for burning incense. Verse 17. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a bronze basin with its bronze stand for washing. Place it between the tent of meeting and the altar and put water in it. Aaron and his sons are to wash their hands and feet with water from it. Whenever they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water so that they will not die. Also, when they approach the altar to minister by presenting a food offering to the Lord, they shall wash their hands and feet so that they will not die. This is to be a lasting ordinance for Aaron and his descendants for the generations to come. Then the Lord said to Moses, take the following fine spices, 500 shekels of liquid myrrh, half as much, that is 250 shekels, of fragrant cinnamon, 250 shekels of fragrant calamus, 500 shekels of cassia, all according to the sanctuary shekel, and a hin of olive oil. Make these into a sacred anointing oil, a fragrant blend, the work of a perfumer. It will be the sacred anointing oil. Then use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the covenant law, the table and all its articles, the lampstand and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering and all its utensils, and the basin with its stand. You shall consecrate them so they will be most holy, and whatever touches them will be holy. Anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so that they may serve me as priests. Say to the Israelites, this is to be my sacred anointing oil for the generations to come. Do not pour it on anyone else's body, and do not make any other oil using the same formula. It is sacred, and you are to consider it sacred. Whoever makes perfume like it and puts it on anyone other than a priest must be cut off from their people. So I think this is a really cool passage, one that I don't even remember ever having read, although I know I have at some point. But one of the things it makes me think about is that my church growing up had a very specific smell to it. I don't know that I could describe for you the smell, probably some mixture of the poopery that was in the bathroom, along with the scents that the women at the church were wearing. But it is one that I feel like if I smelled today would automatically transport me back to those moments of being at church as a young man growing up. And so I think one of the interesting things that God does in our lives is he uses certain things to remind us of moments, whether it was not just smells even, but he uses songs, he uses passages of scripture that all kind of transport us back to a place. This, I think, often happens even around Christmas time. You know, you get transported back to a moment because of a song or a cookie or a smell or something like that. So maybe my prayer for you today is that you'll encounter something that reminds you or takes you back to a specific place where you experienced God's grace as the smells of this specific perfume that was created in this passage did for the people of God. Next, let's turn to Psalm chapter 20. Psalm 20, for the director of music, a psalm of David. May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and grant you support from Zion. May he remember all your sacrifices and accept your burning offerings. May he give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. May we shout for joy over your victory and lift up your banners in the name of our God. May the Lord grant all your requests. Now this I know, the Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers them from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They are brought to their knees and fall, but we rise up and stand firm. Lord, give victory to the King. Answer us when we call.
Thank you so much, Joel, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. We want to get a little family update and then hear about your summer as our student minister. So first, tell us a little bit about what's going on in your family these days.
Yeah, thanks for having me again. A lot changes in 5 months. We are so blessed by the arrival back in February of Nora. Catherine Burks. Nora is a name that we picked out because we liked the meaning of it and the sound of it. And Catherine is my mom's name, and Burks obviously is my last name. So she's pretty special to us. She's already been such a light. Just she is a very smiley baby, a very pleasant baby. She is not as good of a sleeping baby as Maggie was, but she makes up for it during the daytime.
I was going to say, those smiles go a long way.
Smiles go a long way, especially if you get one at 2 a.m. But she's great.
And tell us a little bit about Maggie and her stage of life.
Maggie is 2 and a half now, and she is talking up a storm. She really loves Nora, and it's really cool. They're getting to that point where she is going and taking books and sitting down with Nora and opening and showing her the pictures and saying, look, Nora, you know, I'm so pretty, baby Nora. she's really funny. But she's getting psyched because we're going to Disney World in October. And so we're on the Disney Princess Express right now, trying to learn some of the names. And her favorites are Belle and Ariel and Elsa. She pretty much likes them all, but those are her favorites right now.
Well, I hope that your trip to Disney is wonderful. This summer has been really busy for you as it relates to ministry. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about the South Africa mission trip that you and Wayne and others went on with the students. Share with us a little bit about that trip.
Yeah, South Africa is something and a place that our youth group has gone for a very long time. We had to stop back around 2020 because South Africa was not letting as many people in because of COVID restrictions and things like that. And we pivoted, thank goodness, to our mission partner in the Dominican with Ann Payton Baker and the work that she was doing there. And we got to do that for 2 years in a row. And then South Africa kind of became an option again. And so we decided to go there back in 24. And our cycle rhythm for student ministry, foreign missions, is every 2 years. So we'll go again in 2028, but we go to Cape Town, South Africa. We work with a mission partner there called Living Hope Ministries, and they just do a little bit of everything, which is really cool. They have a farm which supplies their cooking mamas, is what they call them in town, with food so that their cooking mamas, who are just local, be like if you in your neighborhood decided you were going to cook for 30 neighbors, they just cook for them. And so they have this kind of sustainable farm program, which provides food for the cooking mamas. And then the cooking mamas provide food for the community. And then they have rehab facilities, and they have a care kind of hospital facility. They have these children's camps that happen during what they call holiday. You know, it's vacation for them, but we were there for their winter break holiday. And so we helped at the holiday club. And so they just do a little bit of everything. And that's a really cool thing to see, because they were talking about one thing they noticed was that when they met one need, another need was kind of behind that need. And so then they were like, well, how do we meet that need that's really causing this first need? And so they just learned that they had to do a little bit of everything. And so it was really cool to go and see all that they were doing and to participate. We didn't get to 2 years ago go to Holiday Club. So it was cool to see the ministry that they were doing in the community of a place called Masifumalele.
And then right when you got back, you were preparing to go on beach retreat with the students. Yeah. And I overheard you talking about how this year was going to be a little different.
That's
Talk
right.
to us about that.
Yeah. So we got back from South Africa on July the 13th, which was a Monday. And then on July the 24th, which was not that first Friday, but the next Friday, we left for beach retreat. So we had all the dominoes up and they were ready to fall. Thankfully, we have a great team and a great staff who are working really hard to get things done. But it was still a tight crunch, and nobody was less excited to see me go than my wife because I had just gotten back, it felt like. But this was a different beach retreat. We sat down. We've kind of been working towards this in some ways over the last couple of years, even though we didn't really know it. But I kind of got a little disenfranchised with the idea of retreats all looking the same. Like, we all just do worship in the morning and then we do fun stuff in the afternoon and then we do worship at night. There's nothing wrong with that. I'll say that. But one of the things that I realized that our students really need is some intentional time to rest with the Lord and not just work with the Lord in the sense that they're like always working on something, but just give them space to be. And so I wanted to take our Saturday and delete the services in the morning and then the evening to provide space for intentional, we'll call them breakout sessions, for studying scripture, prayer, and working on our testimony and kind of strategies to share the gospel with people. And so we did that. We've been working on it this whole time and didn't even realize it was maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we taught the kids a Bible study method that we call the sword method. And so if you picture a sword, the blade's pointing up and you ask the question, what does this teach us about God? The hilt down at the bottom is kind of pointing at you and me. What's this teach us about us? And then the sword handle is the application. How do I apply this? And so we gave the kids like 45 minutes to sit down with a passage of scripture and just study the Bible. And we kind of reiterated and reminded them of that method that we had taught them a couple years ago. A few years ago, we did a pray method where we taught them an acronym for pray, pause, rejoice, ask, and yield. Again, it's not to say that all these things should be formulaic necessarily, but that especially between 7th and 12th grade, sometimes they just need something to get them started.
Some tools.
Yeah, some tools. And so we kind of, and then 4 years ago for Ethan's first beach retreat, we taught the kids this way of sharing the gospel that we call the three circles method. And so we just use this beach retreat to set aside time for them to learn those things. Sometimes I think we make ministry too complicated. We try to do everything and make kids drink out of a fire hose. But in some way, I thought about what would it be like if all of the students that graduated from our ministry could study their Bibles well and in a way that they aren't intimidated and can understand it and realize the value of community, pray, they have a healthy prayer life. And then they share the gospel and know how to articulate their own story and how to articulate the story of scripture to people. And I was like, if that was all that I was able to teach our students, then that'd be a big win. But one of the things I realized was that I didn't really have spaces where we were doing that very well. And nothing really locks kids down like beach retreat. We have their full attention for however many hours we're gone from Monday to Friday. And it would just seem like a good opportunity for us to sit down and really key in on these specific practices. And so I think moving forward, that's spiritual disciplines is kind of going to be the theme of beach retreat. We're going to give kids a chance to sit with the Lord in a way that they don't normally have back at home. This beach retreat I had three kind of phrases that I was trying to kind of drill as we were preparing as we were doing this weekend. Receive grace, eliminate distractions, and pursue godliness. And it's this idea that all of us need to start with the gospel, that nothing that we do is earning God's love. We don't do these things because God will love us. We do these things because God loves us and we want to spend time with him. And so the first thing we all have to do is receive the grace that God has given to us. The second thing I think we have to do if we want to pursue godliness is we need to eliminate distractions. And so at Beach Retreat, we take away the biggest distraction I think these kids have, which is their cell phones. And so we take up cell phones for the weekend in order to put them into a different space mentally. they're not really distracted by the videos on their phone or their friends who are trying to get in touch with him. They are they're present. Somebody once said phones make us close to those we are far from and far from those we are close to, and so we try to eliminate at least that distraction while we're there. And then finally, pursue godliness. This idea that there is some sort of partnership between ourselves and the Holy Spirit in becoming more like Christ, that takes some, you know, Paul says strain towards the goal. Mm-hmm. And so we just encourage our kids, like, we're giving you these tools, and our hope is not that you wake up on Monday morning and run a spiritual 5K or lift a spiritual 450 pounds, but that you would wake up and you'd start pursuing, you'd start taking steps. And so that was kind of the Beach Retreat theme for this year, is pursuing godliness. And so it was a great time, and I was really pleased with how it went. I think the students really enjoyed it as well.
Thank you, Joel, for giving us an overview of your weekend. And I am challenged by what you said as well. And I think that it can transfer into all of our lives. So thank you for that. When you returned, then you turned around and you also went to children's camp for a day. What did you learn there?
Yeah, we sent not just myself from student ministry to kids camp, but we sent probably about 6 or 7 youth there, as well as Ethan McVeigh. Ethan and the students woke up, so we got back on Monday from Beach Retreat. They woke up on Tuesday and left. I took a day off and then went down with Ada on Wednesday. So we spent all day Wednesday from, like, we got there at breakfast. So breakfast was at 8 and we left last night around 9:30. And so we spent the whole day with them, which was so much fun. They were talking about God's love. And one of the reasons I go to kids camp is because this is the place where I sort of get to start building relationships with the kids who would become youth. Or, for instance, like, the VBS has preteen after parties. Like, those are places where I built relationships with students or kids at the time, and that they would become students. And so it's always such a blessing for me to be able to go. There's just a different energy at kids camp, and it's one that brings me life. And we were leaving last night, and Ada was like, that was actually more fun than I thought it was going to be. And, like, that's kids camp in a nutshell. It's more fun than you think it's going to be. So it was a great time. And Sharon and Mark, who preached while we were there, I mean, there was a whole host of people, Wendy and Ethan and Kelly, all doing leadership. And then you have these students who are our mantra that we try to teach our students is camp is for the campers. When we go, we're there to serve them. You did your camp this last weekend, and we hopefully served you in a way that was helpful for you. But when you're here, it's for them. And so how are you serving these students? How are you building relationships? Because everybody wants to feel known. And I think especially for the kids that are coming into youth group, because we have some kids who are rising into 7th grade, they really do look up to some of the students that we have there who will be in youth group with them for a couple of years. So we had a great time, and I am happy that Campathon is finally coming to a close and that we can get some rest and get ready for this fall, where we'll have people coming in. And I will say one thing about student ministry is that our staff is kind of in flux right now. So Ethan has transitioned into a new role. And so with that, we have this coming year, we have 3 ministry residents, which is a first for me in student ministry, maybe the first student ministry in Mountain Brook, just to kind of take up some of the things that Ethan was doing and to make sure that we're not dropping any balls. And so I'm really excited for Thomas Oliver. He's coming on staff with us as our kind of guy resident. And then you all know Ada. Ada's been around for the last year. She's going to stay on for another year. And then we've also added Reagan Welch. And Reagan has already made so many connections with some of our girls. And I'm just really excited about the ministry partners that I get to bring along and what we're doing here.
Joel, thank you for all of your ministry here at Mount Brook Baptist and for everything you've done this summer. We look forward to the fall as well. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Yeah. Dear Lord, thank you so much for all of the gifts that you have given to us, for the gift of friends to go on mission trips and retreats with, for the gift of this church who has financially supported us along the way, for the gift of this podcast, Father, for the bit of Bible intake that we get to get through it. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus. Father, bless us as we look forward into this next season of life. Thank you for all that you've done through this summer. We ask that you will help us to receive your grace, to eliminate anything that is distracting us from being with you, and to pursue godliness. Help us to do that, Lord, every day. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.